welcome to Nothing Ever Happens in Canada. But we know this is simply not true. This is a Canadian podcast looking to explore the myths, legends, and just good old stories Canada has to tell. I'm Canadian Girl. Thanks so much for joining me today as we head out to Newfoundland and learn about what's hiding in the woods out there. But first, like always, a little bit of that business stuff so we can keep this little podcast going. If you are loving these adventures, please leave a review or a comment on the app you're listening to. I personally hang out on CastBox most days, so if you happen to be on there too, stop by, even if it's just to say hi. If you are feeling really generous, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, as they control the podcast charts, meaning the more reviews we get, the more we move around on the podcast charts, so we can meet more awesome listeners just like you to join the crew. The other way you can help support this channel is by donation. Donations are received through our PayPal account, which are used to cover the cost of hosting fees, purchasing research materials, and updating the equipment when needed. You can find the link to leave a review or make a donation in the show notes below. I thank you all graciously for your constant support of the show. We wouldn't be here today without all of you. We did it. We made it through that business stuff. It's time to find out what's going on in the middle of the woods in Newfoundland. That's right, we're off to trek around the deepest parts of the woods and some very boggy areas in search of what some people know as the good people or the little fellas. But don't let these cute names fool you. These are the forest fairies of Newfoundland. And these fairies are not like the fairies you are picturing right now in your head. Take that image and throw it right away. These fairies are mean, nasty, can be very ugly. Also, they are often men in most tales. Little old men with beards, blue clothing, and red pointed hats is what is often described after one encounters a fairy in Newfoundland's forest. These fairies are known more to look like dwarfs, if you will. No wings, no pixie dust here. They are also known to be quite the tricksters, tricking many over the years to enter the woods and follow them, only to end up missing for days on end and return without any memory of where they've been. That's the Newfoundland fairies. Grab your jackets, as it may still be a bit cold here today. It's just barely spring here in Canada. And this province is our most eastern, and it sits right next to the Atlantic Ocean. Also, make sure you grab a little bit of bread, throw it in your coat pockets, and some silver coins. I promise, I will explain later, but trust me, you don't want to be caught without them, so please do not forget to bring them. Welcome to Newfoundland. Here we are going to start our adventure in Fairyland, Newfoundland, because why would we not? It's just a small hamlet with a population of about 400 people. Fairy folklore in Newfoundland is just as important as historical landmarks are in the province and has been around since the 1600s. Many claim to have seen a fairy themselves, or at least have a family member that has seen one. Some stories have been passed down for generations. Being that many settlers in the area at the time were from Scottish or Irish descent, it is not surprising they brought their fairy folklore with them when they came. It also explains why there are so many different shapes and sizes when it comes to fairies running around here. Some are described as children or small adults, some are only seen as glowing lights, and some are even seen as animals. They are often young boys or men with pointed red hats, generally in blue clothes, but when female fairies are seen, they are described as being dressed in all white and very, very beautiful. When animals are seen, they are often described as being red, such as a red deer or a red rabbit. They can be anywhere from 2 feet tall to 4 feet tall, but 4 feet would be considered a very large one and be very rare. What they all have in common is they are not very friendly to humans. They most often lash out at a human for disturbing their home in the forest or a piece of land they consider sacred. Fairies are spirits of nature and are there to protect it, but some are just not nice and will persuade you to follow them deep into the woods by tricking you with music, pretending to be someone you know so you will follow them, or by simply calling out your name from deep in the woods. Especially when one is off berry picking in the woods, this seems to be when they like to strike the most, as it's where most of the stories start. After being placed under a fairy's trick of being led away, most disappear for days on end, only to be found or reappear not knowing where they've been, what's happened, or even how much time has passed. And some even are found miles away from where they went missing. Often all they remember is following a sound or chatting with someone that led them into the woods further, and then, after that, their minds are just blank. And that's not even the worst of it. Most come back looking much worse than when they left. Some age many, many years more than they should have, or come back weak or mentally ill. Others are left with a weak limb or bad lungs, possibly. There is even what is known as a fairy blast, which is a disgusting lump on one's skin, and when opened up by a doctor, awful things are found inside, such as hair, twigs, and more that I'm not going to say here because they are just gross. And that's all I'm going to say about those fairy blasts. All I know is, we don't want to get one of these today. The fairies are even known to be so cruel, they have been known to lead one off a cliff's edge or onto thin ice. As you can tell, meeting a fairy in the woods in Newfoundland is not a good thing. It will indeed change you in one way or another. Though they do seem cruel and harsh at times, the fairies are not meant to be feared, but respected, and to be a reminder to respect the nature that is around you. Now, did you bring that bread I asked you to bring? And the silver coins? Okay, good, good. It looks like everybody has theirs. Now, the last thing we have to do before we enter these woods today here in Newfoundland is take one piece of clothing, anything you like, your hat, jacket, sweater, socks, take that piece of clothing and turn it inside out and put it back on. I know you're all looking at me like I'm crazy. I promise you, I'm not. I'm just trying to protect us all from these little fellas, or often called good people, though I'm not sure how they got that name, that are roaming around these woods. Having bread and silver coins in one's pockets, or even in one's stroller, as mums often do while walking in these areas, is said to offer protection from the fairies, as it is seen as an offering to them. And if you are approached by a fairy, hand it over right away to avoid any trouble. You can actually see a sign that reads, "At the D'Iberville Trailhead near New Pelican in Trinity Bay, it states, notice, carry bread in pockets when you are in the woods." You can check out the picture yourself at nothingcanada.com under the show notes section. And as for the turning inside out of a piece of clothing, that is said to confuse the fairies and keep you walking on the right path, so they cannot lead you astray in the other direction. So, still think I'm crazy? You can thank me when we all make it out of the woods untouched by the fairies. As we walk down the trail today, let me tell you about some of the fairy stories I have found. The first is from October 1880, when Judge James Gervais Conroy had to try a case in the Central District Court of St. John's, Newfoundland, where John Ebe stated he had lost his summer wages from his employer, Mr. J. Hickley, who refused to pay Mr. Ebes, stating he was absent from work without leave from his work duties for 13 days. Mr. Ebes claimed he was missing for those 13 days due to the fact he had been taken by fairies. In the end, Judge James Gervais Conroy did rule in Mr. John Eames' favor. So I guess you could say, at the time, back in the late 1800s, St. John's district court system may have just believed in fairies. Do watch as we are walking along the trail today. You may just see a fairy path, which is a route known to be taken by the fairies. Such routes are usually straight lines between trees or in between sites of significance. There is also fairy forts, some say which can be mountains, hills, bushes, and such. And finally, the last one to keep a lookout for are fairy rings. Many are made from mushrooms, flowers, or even trees that grow in complete circles. There is said to be a fairy ring of wildflowers on Belle Island, and there is also fairies there too, but we will get to them in just a bit. There is a fairy ring of trees famously known to be in North Conception Bay. 13 massive trees stand in a circle surrounded by completely barren land all around them. Legends say nothing will grow on fairy grounds, leading many to believe this sacred circle of trees is indeed a fairy circle, where great meetings and celebrations take place in the fairy world. You can see an amazing picture at nothingcanada.com under the show notes section. There is another fairy ring of trees at Harbor Grace. Legends say tiny beings in green clothes and red pointed hats gathered here under the moonlight, and again, like before, they are surrounded by nothing. Nothing grows around these trees at all, just the circle of trees. Some even suggest their kingdom may be located underground at this location. Either way, this fairy ring of trees is on private property, so please get permission before heading in to check it out for yourself. The tales of fairies over the years were often told to keep small children from wandering too far into the woods. There isn't a child from Newfoundland who hasn't been told that once or twice in their life before. Fairies were also used to explain why things happen. For example, if a child lost its sight, the fairies took it. If you became lost in the woods, it wasn't by your own accord, of course not. It was the fairies who led you away. If someone drowns in the lake, they were led there by the fairies and taken for entering one of their fairy forts. If you realize you are being led away by the fairies, quickly flip a piece of clothing inside out like we did today. It is said it will protect you and put you back on the right path and confuse the fairies and break their spell. Let me tell you a couple more stories as we keep walking deeper into the woods. In 1936, Lucy Harris was lost in the woods around early spring for 11 or 12 days. She had, of course, been taken by the fairies. Everyone knew it. It was said to be a foggy day and she had no bread in her pockets, so we all know what that means. Fairies are known to often hang around in bog areas as well. Another spot berries are often known to grow, so humans often show up there. To see a picture of what is believed to be a fairy in the wild, head to nothingcanada.com and check out the show notes section. This picture features the little bright light fairy that people report seeing, opposed to the little man in the red pointed hat, just so you are prepared for the picture, as there are different beliefs of what fairies look like depending on who you ask and what they have seen for themselves. I just wanted to take a quick second here to shout out some of the amazing resources used to make this adventure possible today. Some of those were cbc.ca, brighthubeducation.com, canadianliving.com, saltware.com, fairydoortours.com, and more. Without your amazing online resources, this adventure would not be possible today. So I thank you all so much for your amazing articles, reports, videos, and more. But back to these fairy stories, as we are coming up to the end of our trail today, here in the woods soon. But back to these fairy stories, as we are just about halfway done our trail in the woods here today. If you remember back in season 1, we went on a Valentine's Day adventure here on the channel, where we stopped by a place called Cupid's, Newfoundland, that you could get an awesome Valentine's Day stamp from the local post office and have them put it on your envelope or package of your Valentine's Day gift. Not only is Cupid's famous for this post stamp, it is also known as the first English-speaking settlement in Canada, and fairy folklore has been told here for centuries, and that's why we're back here today. Also has a legacy Cupid's also has a legacy center, which is like a museum for the area, and on their rooftop you can find a beautiful fairy garden complete with fairy statues. Every year the museum holds a night where actors put on a fairy play up there and fairy stories are told. In Cupid's, in 1940, a young boy would go missing after a day out picking blueberries with his family. Even more unfortunate, the boy was deaf and also could not speak, so panic set in instantly when it was noticed the young boy had gone missing. After being found, he was in very rough shape and rushed home immediately to wash up and be cared for. When asked what he had seen in the woods, the boy drew a picture of a very short man with a long beard and a red pointed hat. You may have heard of the famous Belle Island here in Newfoundland before, but likely it's not for its fairy folklore. It's known for the Belle Island boom. There are tons of podcasts out there that can tell you all about it. A personal favorite, the Nighttime Podcast, another great Canadian podcast, and he does a wonderful job of covering the events and has multiple episodes on it. I highly recommend it. Again, it's the Nighttime Podcast. Located in the Bay of Roberts, you will find the fairies of Belle Island in Butler's Marsh, a very boggy terrain covered in wildflowers and trees. Very close to the Belle Island flower fairy ring I mentioned earlier. The Belle Island fairies are described as being no more than 2 feet tall, often are males, and are very disformed, making them almost appear somewhat zombie-like. They are known to tempt people into the marsh. Once they are close enough, they grab them and drag them down into the deep depths of the muck, and the missing are never seen again. The fairies of Belle Island are known to be very mean and scary, to say the least. So please do not go near Butler's Marsh in the Bay of Roberts unless you have to. The Inuit, who are indigenous to the land, tell tales of little folk who wear white fur trim clothing, are able to vanish in an instant, and carry very tiny, sharp little shards of ice that they use like a dagger. Other indigenous tribes in the area describe them as being the size of toddlers, faster than lightning, stronger than human adults, and they speak in very high-pitched voices, almost like a bird chirping. Though they are often just seen as being more on the evil side, for leading people astray and causing them harm, they can just be simple tricksters too, knocking over haystacks, firewood, and such things to cause small havoc on the property. Another common fairy trick? They like to braid horses' tails together in the stables. Some even say such things as a dimple on one's nose or cheeks indicates you were pinched by a fairy. A more positive trait often forgotten in all the mischief that they have? They are able to make dead trees suddenly come back to life and begin to grow again. Have you been to the Nothing Canada Souvenir Shop? Here you can find great pieces from your favorite adventures to take home with you, like a Yukon UFO tote bag, a What the Maple Syrup hoodie, or a Mystery Mountain notebook. The choice is totally yours. We also have added some exciting new Nothing Ever Happens in Canada designs. Head over to the souvenir shop today and find the perfect piece from your favorite adventure and help support the show. The link to the souvenir shop can always be found in the show notes below or at nothingcanada.com.
Do you enjoy science, spooky stories, and all things paranormal? We do too.
While we would love for most paranormal stories to be true, we are here to tell you that they probably aren't. But that doesn't make them any less fun to speculate about.
We are the Spooky Science Sisters podcast. In this podcast, we bring you bi-weekly discussions on possible scientific explanations behind the supernatural. Backed up by research articles and other credible sources, we do deep dives into things like archaeology and physics and share in-depth discussions with topic experts.
Visit us at SpookyScienceSisters.com to listen to a couple of skeptics debunk some of your favorite alien encounters, cryptid sightings, and ghost stories with science, sass, and a significant amount of laughter.
Thank you, and stay spooky.
Head over to straightupstrange.com today and check out not only our strange family, but also our amazing collection of strange merch. That's straightupstrange.com to check us all out. Perfect fairy ring of wild mushrooms just to the right of the trail. Be careful not to step in it. You wouldn't want to upset the fairies. Another famous tale takes place over 50 years ago at Clark's Beach, when a young lady would head out for the day with her two friends to pick berries, when she suddenly called out that they were heading in the wrong direction. As the lady looked in the direction that she thought they should be going, she claimed to have seen a herd of red horses. Her friends knew right away this was a fairy trap, and that they were trying to lead their friend the wrong direction. The two friends quickly got a hold of their other friend and led her out of the woods away from the herd of red horses. If not for them, she may have never lived to tell the tale. A young woman named Liz Fagan lived in Graven Bank in St. Mary's Bay. She would go missing for 3 whole months, and everyone blamed the fairies for her disappearance. Then one night, she suddenly returned home. Her mother saw her for just a few seconds. The pair exchanged words, and Liz quickly turned around and ran away into the night again. Her mother, of course, chased after her as far as she could. The point where she last seen her daughter is known today as Liz's Point. One last tale about these fairies for us today, as we're almost at the end of our trail. A young married couple would build their new dream home on their dream piece of land and thought they had it all, only to find out not long after moving in, they had built their home on a fairy pathway. Like many in their situation, they would have to either compromise or move, so they chose to compromise by having 2 doors right in a line with both ends of the fairy path going through their house. They also had to leave the doors open at all times to let the fairies through. Others have gone as far as to remove a whole corner off of their house. It all depends where a fairy path crosses through your home. Do you have a fairy path in your area? What about a fairy ring? Please let me know if you do. I'd love to hear about them and share them with everyone else. Looking for some fun fairy trails that might just be in your area? In LaSalle, Ontario, you can find, just as you start heading down the LaSalle Recreation Trail, a fairy forest awaits for you to discover. In British Columbia, in the Kootenays area, you can find a hidden fairy forest if you know where to look. One I have personally been to myself with my nephew is the amazing Redwood Park Fairy Park in Surrey, BC. This beautiful rainforest is covered in fairy houses decorated by little kids who bring them to the forest to hang up for the fairies. It's truly one of the coolest places I've ever been. Edmonton, Alberta has a trail named the Fairy Ring Trail, which has a couple of fairy houses along the way. Even cooler, there is a company called Fairy Door Tours, who set up amazing tours to check out the fairy doors across Newfoundland. They are usually run from June to September and are about $9 a person. Trails are in places like Pippi Park, are covered in fairy homes, doors, and so much more. In some locations, you are able to make wishes at a wishing well, leave a note for the fairies at the fairy mailbox, or even deliver some firewood to a grumpy gnome that lives there too. Though most of the fairy door tours are available only in Newfoundland, there is one in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, if you are listening and near there. A hiker actually made the first fairy door discovery in Newfoundland near the East Coast Trail at Tinker's Point. in Tor's Cove, according to the Fairy Door Tour's website. And the rest have just kept popping up mysteriously ever since. Some places in Newfoundland that still love their fairy lore very much are Avondale, Fairyland, of course, Whitless Bay, said to be the most likely place you'll see an actual fairy, Fortune Harbor is another one. In places like Upper Island Cove, they are known to travel along a very special road known as the Fairy Path. As to why they are not around so much today as they once were, like most things, humans have drove them away. We come take over, turn on bright lights, make loud noises, and take everything in sight. Due to this, it's believed the fairies have either been driven deeper into the woods or underground to hide away from us. I'm Canadian Girl. Until next time, my friends.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.
You guys, who always listen to the very end, are the best people out there, but you already know that. I hope you have a great week. I hope you get something done that you've been wanting to get done for a while. And I also hope you have a little time to put your feet up, because you certainly deserve it. I'm Canadian Girl. Stay safe, my friends.